Well, just because you're ready to proceed with change doesn't mean you're ready. I'm going to say that one more time. There are a lot of people that want to proceed with change, but they're just not ready. And what Joshua and what God has written in his word to share with us is that you have to understand this one thing, and I want you to write this down. Change is delicate. Come on, somebody. You know, there are people who you say, you know, let's do something. They'll just jump out and they'll go. They don't think about the consequences. They don't care what they leave behind. They're just ready to go. And they make it. Amen. But there are some people who they make a commitment. Come on, somebody. They say, I'm ready to change, and they get in the driver's seat, and then they get midway and they said, oh my gosh, what did I just do? And that's what the generation before them had done when they got to the Red Sea. They were crunk. Amen. They were crunk. They were excited. They were ready for change. They were ready. They had been in Egypt for so long. You walking with me? The generation before them, they were in Egypt so long that they were tired of the same thing, same routine every day. Same thing every day, same situation. They had no choice, but they were enslaved. And as a result of that, they wanted change. And God prepared it. It was a little tough for Pharaoh to release them. But I believe that the testimony that God was doing, what God was doing at this time, he was building a case for them so that they could see how powerful God was. God caused the Nile to turn into blood. Come on, somebody. Frogs and gnats and, you know, because Pharaoh wouldn't let the people go, right? Then the final blow was death. The death angel came over every house that did not have the blood. Hello, somebody. When you don't have the blood over your house, y'all, amen, all kinds of stuff will start dying. And I'm bringing you back there because I want to show you that these children grew up with parents that had a mentality, amen, where they did not really want to go forward. And sometimes you're in a relationship or you're in a marriage or you're in a partnership or you're in a friendship and one of the persons don't want to move, come on somebody, forward. You try your best to present to them vision. Come on, somebody. And it just seems as if they don't want to do anything other than stay right where they are. I should have got an amen right there. That should have been amen twice, two times. Amen. And oftentimes what happened to them in their journey, God even provided for them because as they were walking out of Egypt, the Egyptians were taking their gold earrings out and they were giving it to them. In other words, this is how God works. When God gets ready to move you, watch this, he'll provide for you. Come on, somebody. Somebody here, you're not ready. You don't want to move forward because you're thinking, how am I going to get the money to do that? And that's why you haven't changed yet. That's why you're probably in the same place that you were last year. Because if you trust God by faith, here's the thing. If you're a tither, you better believe God going to bless you. I'm going to say it one more time. I'm going to say it three more times. If you are a tither from the heart that says, God, I love you. I think I told someone yesterday, I said, when you get your tithes, I don't even want you to just come in here and put it in. I want you to do this. I want you to say, God, I want to present this to you. Thank you for giving me strength this week. Thank you for allowing me to wake up every day. Thank you that I made it to work to get, well, I got the direct deposit. Come on, somebody. You know, thank you, Lord, that, guess what? That there were no glitches in the system. And God, I thank you, right? See, that's change. And here's what I want to say to you. When you change the way you present yourself and your offering before God, you're going to see something supernatural happen in your life. So as they were going out, right, God provided for them to show them, right, that listen, I'm in control. But they got to the Red Sea. This is why I say change is very delicate. Because when they got to the Red Sea, they start hearing a noise behind them, like, what's going on? What's happening? Pharaoh, now watch this. God was the one that hardened Pharaoh's heart. Watch this. God was the one that changed Pharaoh's heart to release them. You with me? You walking with me? I see you walking with me. And watch this. And God was the one that hardened Pharaoh's heart again to go after them. Now here's the question. Why would God release them and then cause them to be in a situation, watch this, where it looked as if their life was going to be taken again? You know what God was doing? I'm going to tell you what God was doing. You ready for this? Y'all gonna catch this. Hold your catcher's mitt out. I want you to catch this. God did not want them to have an option to go back. I'm going to say it one more time. See, when we get ready to change, come on, somebody, we hold on to that option. Oh, come on, somebody. That boyfriend that you had, come on, somebody, that sugar daddy. You know, listen, you know every payday he going to give you some money. Listen, you can call anybody else. They're going to say, I ain't got nothing. But you call sugar daddy, he going to give you that money. Listen, that's your option. And the reason that God closed that door is because when God causes change in your life, it has to be permanent, watch this, along with the trust factor. But God wanted to close the door so that they could not go back to that source. Oh, come on, somebody. Because they needed to change. And oftentimes when we change, we keep that little, you know, that sidekick. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. So I hope y'all ain't got no side. I hope you married people ain't got no sidekick now. Amen. Amen. God wants to close them doors now. Okay? But when if you're going to proceed with change, you got to say, I ain't going back there no more. That's not for me. Right? And watch this. Many people want to proceed with change, but watch this. They won't spend the time preparing. Listen, I want to tell you something. Joshua 3 is amazing to me. I've read it and read it and read it and read it, and this is the first time I've seen it this way. Watch this. They stayed there for 3 days. Remember I told you last week? They waited for the proper timing. Number two, they put God first. Number three, they paid attention to God's who? Priest. And number four, they pursued what? God's presence. But it wasn't over yet. See, and sometimes we think that because we've putting God first, because we've put God in the right place, that, watch it, that now it's time to go forward. No, it ain't time yet. And what I see is from that generation when they got to the Red Sea and watch this, and Pharaoh started coming and the obstacle of the Red Sea was before them, they're saying to themselves, man, what are we going to do? And you know what they did? They complained. And I want to talk to somebody here. You've been complaining. You've been murmuring. You've been saying, man, I give my money to that and I ain't seen nothing coming back. You've been talking about your process. You haven't been talking about it in a positive light. Because listen, you have a lot of regrets. And oftentimes when you regret, amen, change, it means that you're not prepared for change. Are you with me? So watch this. I'm gonna give you these points and we're gonna go home. Watch this. Question I have for you is, how many of you today you want to change? Let me see. Let me see how many people want to change today. How many of you have actually put into practice what you have learned throughout this series about change? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I wanted to see how many of you did. And watch this. Watch this. Are you really ready for change? How many of you really ready for change? You're really ready. Good. I'm glad. Now watch this. Watch verse 4. We're going to go to verse 4 now. Look what it said. The Israelites, they did not cross the Jordan, watch this, unorganized or in a haphazard manner. Are you with me? They didn't just say, well, that change, yeah, we finna cross this Jordan. They could have just crossed. They could have just went across, right? But look what he said. Remember we talked about the Ark of the Covenant being in front of them, right? Watch this. It wasn't every man for himself sort of thing. But it was a highly organized procedure which assured, watch this, efficient, successful outcome. And what I'm trying to say to you, I want you to start saying to yourself, I got to be careful. I got to be careful. Because, watch this, who I follow is very important. And I have to ask myself a question, right? I want change in my life, but the question is, where am I getting my advice from? Who am I listening to? Amen. Who is behind me? Who's in my ear telling me, hey, come on, you can do it. You can, here's the reason why you ought to do it. So I want you to remind yourself that change, I'm going to say it one more time, is a very delicate process. And so he goes on to say here in verse 4, look what he says. He says, however, there shall be between you and it. Now we know what he's talking about, right? He's talking about the Ark of the Covenant, and he's also talking about who? Thank you. I'm going to say it one more time. He says, now listen, if you're going to proceed with change, keep your eye on the Ark, which is the word of God and the presence of God, right? In other words, you got to be spiritual if you're going to bring change, real change in your life. Okay? Listen, so you got to keep your eyes on it, right? But then it's time to go after it. But don't just go after it. You got to make sure you do something else. Well, watch this. Watch what he's saying. Watch what he's saying. He says, however, therefore, there shall be between you and it a distance of 200 cubic measures. That is half a mile. So in other words, what he's saying is, listen, I don't want you to get too close to the one. Oh, come on, somebody. That's going to bring you out. But watch this now. So the first point I want to tell you, if you're going to proceed with change, the first thing is, don't become careless spiritually. Now, may I say this to you? Some of us, the moment we read a Bible verse, or we think that we've been praying and we've been fasting and we got a little bit of spiritual strength under us, you know what happens to us? We become careless. He says, I want you to be alert. I want you to be wise. I want you to always have your spiritual eyes open, because here's what his thing. Don't come too close that you may lose respect for it. Don't get too common with it. Don't treat prayer as if it's something you're just doing. You know, listen, don't walk around telling everybody, man, this thing is hard. This fasting thing is hard. It's so hard. I can't do it. I got the book. I can't do it. Uh-oh. Did I say something? Listen, if you're going to make change in your life, you have to always be on the alert. The Bible says be alert. Your adversary. He says your adversary to what? The devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to what? Devour. See, God wanted to keep them spiritual. Watch this. To remain spiritual so that they would continue to follow him. In other words, remember what they're following now. They're following the word, but he said, don't get too close to it. Don't get too close to it. Don't get too common with it. You know, and here's the thing. If you keep yourself alert, then what's going to happen is you're not going to say, this is just something I'm doing every day. You're not going to get into routine religion. Are you with me? So don't become what? Careless. Spiritually. And I see that happen to a lot of people. They become careless spiritually. They don't read. They don't study. Righteous. Because, watch it, they got the word sitting right there in the house. They won't pick it up. Amen. That you're too close to it. In the sense of being too common with it. Here's the thing. You know, we will treat other people better than the people we love. Come on, somebody. Somebody from the outside may say the same thing. You may respond differently to the one on the outside than you would with the one inside. So what God was saying, listen, you got to understand the holiness of it. You got to understand that the holiness of this thing, you got to keep that in your mind that, listen, if you're going to bring about change in your life, you're going to need more information from God. Because you don't know where you're going, you just stepped out on faith. Come on, somebody. And watch this. Now, it doesn't mean you can't get in it and get close to it, you know, dispensation. We can. Okay? But what I saw here in the text, he says, listen, literally, he said, the word there for measure, amen, the distance between measuring, it means, watch this, to be far away from. Okay, so now you don't want to be too far away from the word where your life, amen, is not changing, right? But here's the thing. You cannot drop your guard spiritually if you're going to change. You have to stay alert, all right? Now look what he says next. He says, now this is the part that really got to me. He says, and do not come near it. Now, remember this. If you came near the ark, you'd drop dead. See, because the idea, the concept here is about holiness. Next week, I'm going to talk, not week after, because we got family and friends next week. But here's the thing. I'm going to talk about holiness. If you read your book today, it talked about what? Holiness. Something we don't talk about. And I'm talking to somebody here today. You want change in your life, but here's what you're doing. The next thing is, don't become too comfortable. You put your Bible down 1 week. You don't read. Y'all ain't saying amen today, so it must be hitting. It must be hitting. Pow, 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 pow. You pick it up 1 week, you put it down. Pick it up 1 week, you put it down. Listen, you were on fire last week. You know what I mean? You had it together, right? See, when we become, watch this, don't allow commonality to cause you to treat the things of God like everything else. Woo, that's powerful. He says, listen, I don't want you to what? Come near it. Listen, the more reverence you have for, watch this, for your process, watch this, and the progress that God has made in your life, then you'll see change. You have to reverence the progress and the process that God has you in, because what's for you is for you, and God has to deal with you a certain way. But when you get too comfortable, you don't talk to the pastor right no more. Come on, somebody. You don't reverence him like the man of God. You know what I mean? You treat him commonly. You treat him as everybody else when you're supposed to treat him as the man of God. The one who feeds you. The one who prays for you. The one who intercedes for you. The one who breaks the bread of life open for you. Listen, if you get too near or too comfortable, your change is in jeopardy. God wants to change you, but he wants you to conform to his word and to his image. Now, how can you conform to his image when you're looking at your pastor as your homeboy? And you're looking at the word as another book. Come on, somebody. And what God is saying here, he says, listen, I don't want you to become too comfortable. Watch this. Don't ever get too close where you forget God, his word, watch this, and his man needs respect. Amen. I want change, right? But watch this. Jesus said in Matthew 13:58, he says, and they took offense at him, but Jesus said to him, a prophet is without honor except what? In his own hometown, watch this, and in his own household. Verse 58 says, and he did not do, watch this, here's why I say don't become comfortable. And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. When you get too comfortable, oh, come on, somebody. You won't see your miracle. You won't see your change. You won't see what God is doing. So what I'm saying to you, saints, if you're going to proceed with change, you got to keep your head in the game. Amen. He says, don't come too near now. Now, Mark 16:14 says, and after he had appeared to the 11 themselves, as they were reclining at the table, he reproached them, watch this, for their unbelief and hardness of heart. This is disciples. This is after Jesus had died, buried, rose from the dead, right? They sitting there having a fish dinner. You know why? They didn't appreciate their change. They didn't understand their Savior. They thought he was dead and still in the grave. Come on, somebody. And sometimes we can take our spiritual walk so lightly where we're not taking it as serious as we should. And listen, God wants you to have fun in the process. This is not a legalistic kind of approach here. What I'm trying to say to you, saints, is that you got to love being in love with God. You got to love serving him. You got to love being in his presence. But if change is going to come in your life, listen, don't get too comfortable. If you're trying to do something, get up every day, discipline yourself, pray, read, then proceed. Amen. If you're looking for a job, if you're trying to go for something else in your career, if you're trying to change something in your family, listen, it's not going to happen by itself. You have to be the one to change first before everything else is going to change. But when we become comfortable, and watch this, and sometimes what happens, saints, we think we deserve to be comfortable, or we deserve a break, or we've been working so hard. Let me tell you something. It was nobody but Jesus that been working through you that has brought you this far by faith. And here's the thing. If you time out with God, God gonna time out with you. And a lot of people say, I'm burnt out from church. I'm burnt out in the choir. I'm burnt out in the usher. I'm burnt everywhere else. But here's the thing. If God has been so good to you, guess what? You wouldn't be doing it, watch it, if God didn't give you the gift to do it. And not only that, watch this. Somebody's in a hospital right now praying for what you have. And you and I should really stop for a minute and think. Somebody's in the hospital right now praying, Lord, if you just give me strength. to get out of this bed. I'm going to serve you with the rest of my life, and you have full health, full strength, but you got comfortable with God. Listen, complacency can set in. We can stop doing the spiritual disciplines that we used to do. Listen, if you're not changing spiritually, change ain't coming. Are you with me? Watch it. So here's what you need. You ready for this? I'm finna close. Yeah, it's time for me to close. Look what he says. Look what he says now. He says, don't get close and don't get near it. Why? He says that you may what? Are you seeing this? That you may know what? See, somebody here, I want to tell you something. You don't know where you're going. You don't know the way. You may think, you know, us men, we don't like to take directions, right? I would rather drive around. I'm going to figure this thing out. You know what I mean? You know, we'd rather drive around, right, end up in a dead end than say, can you call somebody? Can you put it in the GPS? You got free GPS, but you won't even use it. He says the reason why you don't want to become careless spiritually and you don't want to become comfortable, okay? Next point. Because you will need what? Because somebody going to try to come in your ear and tell you it's time to change, time to move forward. And guess what? That ain't of God. Now, what is discernment? Discernment is the ability, watch this, to make wise decisions. And if you're going to proceed with change, you're going to need to know, listen, we cannot get this apartment, okay, or this house, because we don't make that much money. That would probably be the right thing, right? But, baby, that's discernment. Amen. I got to live within what? And if you're going to proceed with change, he says, if you get too close and too comfortable, the devil's going to fool you like he fooled Eve. He told Eve, listen, if you eat this right here, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be like God, knowing what? Good and evil. You know all Eve knew after that was what? Evil. Because the first thing they did was made loin coverings. First thing they did was they covered their private parts before they were in innocence. Amen. But may I say this to you? When you don't have discernment, then watch this. You don't know where to go. You won't know how far to go. Are you with me? When you keep your distance, when you reverence God's word, when you read, when you study, when you live the word of God, you will have discernment. You'll know right from wrong, and you will have no regrets in the journey. And you will not regret your change. Watch this. You'll rejoice because you had discernment to change. And here's the thing. When you have discernment, you know you ain't right. Discernment will tell you, man, you know you ain't living right. Listen, you can't call right wrong and be rejoicing over it. Amen. People do that kind of stuff. They're rejoicing in their sin, right? And they're saying, it's right. It's right. It's right. Love lifted me. That's what it was. No, baby, listen, something else is lifting you. And it ain't love. Amen. You need discernment. You need to know. Listen, I know I need to make a right decision. Listen, is this the right thing to do? And now here's the thing now. When God gives you discernment, you're not going to keep second guessing yourself. Boy, I wish I had a shouting crowd today that can appreciate what they're getting here. Watch this, watch this, watch this. As you proceed with change, you'll know, man, I have no regrets. Even if it looks shady at the beginning, because you have the word in its proper perspective. Come on, somebody. And because you have the man of God in his proper perspective, and because you have a distance between you and that, and your reverence for it is so well, guess what? God says, I'm going to pour out so much discernment, you're going to see a crook when he's coming. You'll be able to discern those shakes. You know how them brothers show up talking about they know God? Uh-oh. You'd be like, I know he's a fraud. God will just put that in your spirit. You see what I'm saying? He'll give you discernment. He'll just say, that ain't right. That ain't right. And something you need to pray for is discernment. Now, here's how you get discernment. You ready for this? Study the word. The more you study the word, the more Hebrews 5:11, that's how you get discernment. The more words you put in you, the more discernment you're going to have. And guess what? The more you can proceed forward with the change that God has for your life. These people were not just getting up, running across no river. We're going to drown. This is why you got to be careful who you following. There's a lot of people. Listen, a man who's not spiritual. Oh, let me hit the home right quick. A man who's not spiritual cannot lead his wife. Are you following me? You say, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? Because here's the thing. If he doesn't know what God is telling him, how can he know where to take you? Come on, somebody. That's what God set up in the garden, that he must lead spiritually. But here's the thing. If you don't have discernment, then you'll fall for everything. Every new thing that comes along, I don't know why I'm laboring here. Every new thing that comes along, you're going to fall for it. You're going to be like, yeah, okay, yeah, that's it. That's it. That was God. but a person who has discernment, they sit back and they watch. They observe. And here's what they do. They go to God's, they don't call granny. Y'all ain't trying to hear me. Y'all not trying to hear me. They don't call nobody. You know who they call? Joshua chapter 2, Joshua chapter 3. Hello. What is your word saying, God? Before I make this life, listen, some people they do stuff. Man, I need to get off of this. Some people they do stuff. This is what God needs you to hear today. They do stuff without consulting the word, and then they realize, man, I made a bad decision. Did you pray about it? Did you consult God's word about it? Or you just did it? And I want to say this to you. Sometimes we make bad decisions, right? And then we confess later on that it was a bad decision, but we wouldn't own it at the beginning. Now, this word, when he says you may know, the word know there in the Hebrew, it means to perceive, to experience, watch this, to consider. Now, when you're following God and following his word and following his man, you'll proceed just like that. You'll discern it. It's perception. Should we do this? And listen, if you get that little thing in your heart, the Holy Spirit telling you, nah, that ain't cool. Don't do that. Then stop. But if the word isn't governing your life, then you'll make those decisions, amen, and live with regrets. How many got some regrets? How many of you proceeded without the word? Amen, right? And we're regretting a few of those things, aren't we? Now watch this, my last point, and we're going to go. Now look what he says now. He says that you may know which way you should go, because remember, we're going somewhere. Look at this. For you, now this is the part that I really love about this verse. For you have not passed this way before. Here's what else you're going to need. You don't need pastor's approval. You need God's assurance. Are you with me? You need what? God's what? Assurance. You know what that means? You know what assurance means? Let me give you the Ebonics definition. That you know, 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 no, 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 no. That you know, no, 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 no. That this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Now, if you asked me 5 years ago if I knew what I was doing, I'd say, I don't know, no, 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 no. But I can tell you with time and spending time in God's word and living the word, I can tell you I know that I know that I know that I know. And that's why I don't make no excuses when I preach. That's why I don't apologize when I preach. That's why I don't apologize when I teach, because I have and we have what? God's what? Assurance. He says, the reason you're going to do need this, because we ain't been this way before, and when we get there, guess what's going to happen? It's going to start looking dark. Right? Just listen, let me tell you something. From the moment me and Sister Hunt made a faith move, everything started breaking down. And that was Satan's way of saying, come on, man, go back. But I was so sure. Come on, somebody. Somebody going to get with me. I was so sure it was time for change. Come on, somebody. I said, man, we're going to go forward. And listen, and everything that broke, God gave the money to fix it. Somebody here this morning, I want to tell you something as I go to my seat. You got to proceed, but you got to have God's assurance. And if you and your husband or you and your friend or whatever that is, whatever you want to call yourself, here's the thing. If you don't have the assurance, don't you go forward. If you and your spouse can't agree, baby, I'm sure of this. I got the feeling, baby. I got the feeling. I got the feeling. Come on, I wish I had some music right there. I got that feeling, baby. I got that feeling. We got this feeling. We're going to go do this thing. I'm so sure about this vision. Listen, I am so sure about it. I can sit here today and tell you it was God that gave it to me. And whatever is of God will remain. And if you're going to change in your life, you're going to proceed with change, watch this. You got to make sure you have that assurance. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Come on. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of what? Salvation. Purchased by. Born of his spirit. Washed in his blood. This is my assurance. 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 I can sing that song and say that I'm sure it was nobody but Jesus that picked me up out of that pit of life. And I was able to proceed with change. I'm not what I used to be. I didn't have a word. You couldn't trust me. I was angry. Come on, somebody. I lied all the time. You didn't even have to ask me. I just lied to you just to lie to you. Just because I wanted something to talk about. I had character problems. But when I met Jesus, he changed me. And that's what he can do for you. Somebody here, you're ready for change. You're ready. You're tired of living the same old life. Listen, calling right, calling wrong right. Doing the wrong thing the right way or the right thing the wrong way. You can't do the right thing the wrong way. You got to do it God's way. Now, there's a reason why he said don't get close. Keep your distance from this. Listen, listen. Be reverential. Reverence God. Reverence his word and you'll live a life that you dreamed of. Now let me show you this. And I'm going to stop. See, a lot of these guys offer us today, a lot of these preachers, they offer you, oh, you're going to have a great life. You're going to just, let me say this to you. When you come into the kingdom, for real, you're going to suffer. Some of you are going to suffer for years upon years and months upon months, right? But see, what you don't realize is happening to you while you're suffering. See, this is what you don't, this is why if you're suffering, stop complaining. Let me tell you what God is doing. God's building your tolerance. He's maturing you so that eventually you can have peace in the midst of your storm. And the more you go through, the stronger you become. And watch this. And then when something hits you again, you say, oh, I've been there before. And then folk will be like, man, I know you're going through, but why are you still smiling? It's because of all the hell I've been through. But I wasn't alone. You follow what I'm saying? I didn't become careless. I didn't become comfortable. I had what? Discernment. But guess what? I had God's assurance. Give God a hand clap of praise.